So we're back talking about kingdom ministers, and we've talked a lot in the past several sessions about the dualism, how church ministers and kingdom ministers, sometimes there's rivalry, and we saw from the book of Philemon, there is no rivalry, there's partnership. So we're now going to shift to really focus specifically now on the attitudes and the roles and some of the reasons for being a kingdom minister and how that calling could be upon your life. So, first of all, when we talk about this, it really, the word king is a pretty strong word.
Right.
Kingdom. Like, I'm the king minister.
Right.
The king cobra, you know?
Right.
But really, that's not what this is.
No, well, it is, but the Lord is the one who's the king.
Yes, that's
and the
king
Lord is the right. one who's the king of your business. He's the king of
so
your
it really is.
Network.
It's the minister, in also connects to how we talk about the seven connections.
Yeah.
There's the personal one. There's marriage, a friend. There's family. Connection three. Connection four is the small groups and friends. Connection five is the church. Right. And now the kingdom
right.
is connection six.
Right.
So part of what we're talking about is that it's those that need to be influenced outside of the local church. It's called the kingdom.
Right.
So that's
but it's easy to feel when you're in charge of a network that you are the king.
But that's true. Well, and I think a pastor feels that way even in a church
yeah.
ministry.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm king of my little group.
In some ways, when Paul says...
We're just being honest here.
Right, right.
Okay, you know, just follow along with this. This is...
Well, where Philemon says, or Paul says to Philemon, I could order you to do this.
Right,
because
right.
I'm the king.
Yeah, I'm the king, sort of.
But that's not what I want to do. I want to treat you with respect. I want to serve you.
Right. I want to love you.
Yes.
Right. So there. Now we're going to shift into the attitude of the kingdom minister.
Right. Okay, Mark 10:41-45. When the ten heard about this.
Now what's this?
Yeah, who are the ten?
Okay, so what happened is there's 12 disciples, as we know.
Yeah.
So we have 12 disciples, and then a couple of them, James and John, had this discussion, and they were imagining a world where the kingdom of God, Jesus was in his kingdom, you know, and it was all things were being fulfilled. And they sort of had a wild thought, you know, can one sit at your right and one sit at your left hand in the kingdom? So that's the context here. So, you know, we were joking about how we all feel, you know, if you're a pastor of a church, you're the king of the church, and you think, you know, I feel guilty about that. Well, they thought stuff like that
yeah,
in the early
right,
church,
right.
okay? Or the early Christianity.
They were exploring that.
They were exploring it. I mean, yeah, so yeah. we're exploring some of these same subjects.
Yeah.
So
they became, so the ten who hadn't been arguing about this,
they occurred to me.
Right. Yeah, they became a little angry because maybe they, you know, these
James
two jumped the gun and they were going to get these spots.
Yes.
You know, who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
They became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them.
Right. So they do it the king way.
Yeah. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you.
Right.
Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant.
Oh, and that Greek word is diakonos, our word minister.
Right.
Must be your diakonos.
Must be your minister. And whoever wants to be the first must be the slave.
The doulos, even lower than the minister.
Right. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
So when we think about kingdom ministers, and really all ministers, really, it really is to have this attitude, what's best for the circle of relationship that we're currently ministering or pastoring in?
Right. And so I know a lot of business owners especially who are Christians, they want to be true to their Christian roots, they want to succeed with their company, and they're not sure where those lines are, you know, where the boundaries, can I put a verse on, you know, on the wall every day and change it? Can I put, you know, my testimony in the newsletter? Can I, you know, where can I do things and where can't I do things? And a lot of times it's hard to know some of these things, but I think the bottom line is, if you try to influence your sphere in a Christian way, in a king way, in other words,
right,
you don't have a choice.
Right.
I'm lording it over you, even though it's for your good. You know,
right.
I'm doing this for your good.
Right.
Most people don't like it when someone does it for their
good.
They
just react on the pure
yeah.
principle of reacting to that.
Right. So again, if you're the people that you have influence over, if they get the sense that you're really about serving them,
yes,
you really want the best for them.
You to be their deacon.
And if you offer, you know, your faith in many of its different forms in a voluntary kind of way, not in a forced, not in a way where I'm making you feel like you have to do it or your job mm-hmm. is in jeopardy. If they genuinely think of you as a servant, mm-hmm. then the sky's the limit in terms of what you can do.
Now, and I saw that when we talked about this Amway weekend gathering,
right.
and they had an optional church service. So here, these business leaders have an optional church service. But when we were there, I saw how many people had not been in church in a long time, and they went to this optional church service. Now, imagine if it had been like, okay, you're at this weekend here, and your other business owners are here. Oh, and by the way, I want you all there at 10 a.m. for the Sunday morning worship
yeah.
service, or you're out.
Right. Right. Or let's say you wouldn't say that, but they get the feeling.
Yes.
That, you know, because,
right.
and that's really the servant attitude.
Right.
If people get it, and that's something you build over time, right?
Yes.
That you actually care about people. You care about their families. You care about what's going on in their life. So that's Rich DeVos meeting with the mm-hmm. ticket person looking at those pictures. Mm-hmm. What does it have to do with the business? What does it have to do with taking tickets?
Right.
You know, looking at some grandkids' pictures. It didn't.
Right.
But it had to do with that person.
Right.
And what that person needed to share and how they needed to be encouraged as a whole person.
Right. And I remember Marty Ozinga would be praying with us about individuals within of the company, whether they were believers or not. He cared so deeply about that team that he was responsible
right.
for.
Right.
And, you know, a powerful testimony, but it was the servant attitude.
Right.
I never saw Marty or Rich ever talk about profits.
Right.
In my what they talked about is the
people.
Potential of people.
People. Right. Well, Rich often said to us, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want.
Right.
So being the servant of all.
Right.
Caring about their needs and their situation, and then what will they do? They respond by helping you do the same.
Right. I've seen so many of the officiants and the chaplains and the life coach ministers, and even read some matchmaker testimonies of how these kingdom ministers, even though they're not wealthy, like we give a lot of example of the Philemon types because that's our theme, because we're dedicating this to Marty and Rich,
right.
mentors that really made a big difference in our lives. But as we read your stories, we see those servant-hearted kingdom leaders who have a ministry outside of their local church circle of relationship while they're honoring their minister, and it is powerful. And we notice it, and now we have talked to just so many. And one of the you call it the silver sauce, the amazing thing is we notice when somebody has this servant attitude, it is powerful.
Right.
The Holy Spirit blesses this. So in a sense, it's not what status can I get to have a ordained status? No, the ordination, all that is, all that does is establish the credibility that the world is looking for. You even get the credibility in service of the very people you reach.
Right. Right.
So it's, the issue is not, oh man, I want to be a minister. Oh, I'm looking, you know, for some. No, a lot of the business leaders and others say, well, I don't really need a title.
Right.
Okay. Yes, you do. The title is to serve those around you.
Right.
You'll be amazed what completing a program will do to say, here's a guy who has everything, and he's actually taking the time to lower himself to learn what the lowly ministers
right.
in a congregation know. Now, again, I'm pejorative. I'm saying this, overstating this here, but you know, it's powerful. And I've seen in the case of Marty and Rich, and the case of so many now, that a lot of you officiants run very good sized businesses. And you also want to do it right. I was talking to Steve, to a guy, and he has a pretty good-sized business, and he was asked to do a wedding, and so he thought he was going to do the wedding, and then he actually got ordained, you know. But then he said, no, I want this to be Christ-centered. So somehow, I got to talking to him. I think occasionally I get to call people. I have a little time, so I'll call someone. And it was powerful to see that he wanted to serve this couple.
Right.
And he wanted them to have an excellent start, so he learned all about doing pre-marriage counseling and all that.
Right.
He didn't have to.
Right.
So he did a 7 to 10 hours it takes to do that class because he actually loved the people that he was trying to serve.
And I think, you know, maybe you're already motivated. You're like, I want to be a more Christ-like influence in the sphere that I have. But I don't know where the lines are. I don't know what I could do, what I can't do. And that's really what this training is going to be about. As we go into the next few sessions, we're going to be talking about the different things that you can actually do.
Right.
And things that, with just a little bit of learning.
Right.
I mean, you know a lot. You know how people think. If you're running something, you have influence.
Leadership.
You know a lot of leadership qualities. But there are some specific spiritual type things.
And skills.
And skills that if you just understood some of those little secrets, your influence could be that much greater.
On the spiritual sphere.
Yes.
See, and you understand people and all that, but then the spiritual sphere. So in the next session, we're going to actually talk about the training program.
Yes.
And talk about why these classes are there and why they will assist you to become the servant of all.